All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Samech Vav. We are picking up Samech Hey Amud Beis, 65b. And we're picking up, hopefully you did your homework a little bit last night. We're picking up 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. So Maskif Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera raises a kasha. And so let's remember again, the fundamental discussion we're having right now is regarding how and when a ganav acquires the particular item that he stole. So Rabbi Zera raised the kasha, let the ganav acquire the item through shinui hashem, meaning when the item is called by a different name, let that be enough of a fundamental change in the item that he stole that he should be able to acquire it. Amar Rabbi Shor ben Yomo Kari Shor. Here's the interesting part. A shar, even when it's one day, and it's really not a shar, it's a calf, it's often still called a shar. And an ayel, a ram, even when it's one day and it's really a lamb, is often still called a ram. The Gemara says, how do we know? The shar ben yomakar is shar. So a shar, even when it's one day old, is called the shar dechsev, shar o kasev, o eiz, ki yivaleid. So the Pasuk speaks about it again. When a shar is born, Abba said, when it's born, it's not really called a shar, it's not really called an ox, it's really called a calf. But yet, again, you see that this identity, it remains with it even from its birth. Most remember again, we're referencing back the case that we were talking that you learned last night. We're referencing back the case where the ganav goes ahead and steals a young animal and the animal matures. So the Gemara was discussing the idea that perhaps just the maturation of the animal should affect enough change for the ganav to acquire the item, or more specifically, a change in identity should go ahead and allow the ganav to acquire the item. To which the Gemara essentially is answering that these animals, even in their immature state, are already known by their mature names. Ayo, how do you know that is true by Ram? Dechsev, be'eli soncha lo achalti. Yaakov Avinu says to Lavan, I didn't eat the elim. I did not eat the eli soncha. So the Gemara says, elim hu delo achal, kvasim achal. So it doesn't mean that Yaakov Avinu was saying, I never ate the rams, but I ate the lambs. Rather, what do you see from here? That even an ayel, even a ram that is one day old, which Rabbi says is not technically a ram, is technically a lamb, is still called a ram. Therefore, again, a ganav is not going to acquire the item simply through shinui hashem, simply through the change of name. But nevertheless, again, there is still a question. Rashi says, Rabbi Eloi, right? Remember again, Rabbi Eloi was the one who said that lemaisa, again, if the ganav stole a tala, if he stole a lamb, and it became an ayel, a ram, that the halacha is that the ganav has acquired the item. So how does Rabbi Eloi hold that if it appears that that is not the case? So whose opinion does this reflect? This is Beis Shammai. The Amri, Shinui b'mekomo omedes. Rabbi Eloi, velo kani. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that when you steal an item, and ultimately, again, that item changes, that item still remains in the possession of the owner. In other words, that change does not allow for the ganav to acquire the item. Rather, again, the item still remains in the possession of the original owner. We'll say, the Gemara is entertaining a fascinating concept here, which is that when someone steals an object, as you've seen already, there's a concept of kinyane gneva, or kinyane gezela. There's the concept that exists that a ganav has the ability to acquire the item. Now again, remember, just because the ganav acquires the item doesn't mean he doesn't have to pay. But lemaisa, again, when you're dealing with these questions, according to Rabbi Eloi, for example, if you were to steal a lamb, and the lamb were to become a ram, halacha lemaisa, again, halacha lemaisa, the ganav is now the owner of that object and owes the owner of the lamb financial restitution. But lav dafka, he has to go ahead and give him back the object itself. That's the havabin that the Gemara is entertaining over here. So therefore, the Gemara suggests that the author of the Braisa is Beis Shammai. Because Beis Shammai is the one who said, shinoi b'mkomo omedes velo kani, that when there is a shinoi, when there is a change in the object still remains the possession of the original owner, and the ganav does not acquire it. This sign, because we learned, Nasan Abes Nanachitin Vasan Solas. So we'll say there's a concept of Esnan Zona. There's a concept that if a man has relations with a harlot and he goes ahead and he gives her payment in the form of an object, that object is called Esnan Zona. So that object, by definition, has certain limitations and prohibitions attached to it. So let's say, for example, he gave her wheat and she made it into Solas, she made it into fine flour. or Asa Zaysin, he gave her olives and she made it into oil, or Adnavim Vasal Yain, or he gave her grapes and she made it into wine. So Tani Chada Asar. So mostly one brisa says these objects will be prohibited from being offered up in the Beis HaMikdash. V'tani chada mutter. And one opinion says, no, that these objects in their changed forms could be used for temple service. So the Gemara of Am Rav Yosef, tani goryon dimaspurak. So Rav Yosef said that goryon of aspurak, this is a person from the name of his place, Beishamai Osrin, u'beisil matir. And Rabbi say this in fact is a machlokes in Beishamai and Beisilal. Beishamai are the ones who say that even if the Zona took the wheat and made it into fine flour, or the olives and made it into oil, or the grapes and made it into wine, the byproduct of those items still is going to be aser. Still is going to be aser. But Beisilo is the one who says that ultimately there'll be mutter. But the Gemara says, my time is the Beis Shammai. What's Beis Shammai's logic? The Chsev Gam L'Rabos Shinu Yehem. Because Beis Shammai is of the opinion that the Pasuk says Gam, in the Pasuk of Esnan Zona, Gam also comes to include anything that the Esnan is converted into. In other words, they're both saying that Beis Shammai understands that when a man gives something to a harlot as payment, even if that object changes form, that object still has the status of Esnan Zona, and therefore may not be used for any type of temple or sacrificial service. And that's what I have from the word Gam. Gam also is a ribui, is an inclusive statement. So it comes to include even if the item changed states. Beis Hillel says, no, the Pasuk says, Haim. It's only the Esnan itself that is Aser, but lo shinu yehem. But what? Not what it's converted into. So if the item is converted into something else, lemaisa, again, the object is no longer aser. So the Gemara says, Ubeis Shammai, hahu tap of Samech Vav, hahu heim. So what does Beis Shammai do with the word heim? So velo vlado seim. So Beis Shammai learns out, ultimately, again, the word heim to teach you that it's only, that let's say he gives her an animal. Let's say he gives her an animal. Aser esnan zona. It's only the animal that is aser, but what? If the animal gives birth, those children are not aser. Ubeis Hillel, Tarti Shamis Mine. Beis Hillel learns out two things from the word heim. Number one, heim velo shinu yehem. Number one, the issue of esnan zona only applies to the object itself, and not to anything it's converted into. And number two, heim velo vlado sehem. And furthermore, again, Basu, it only applies to the esnan itself, to the animal itself, and not to any offspring of the animal. Fine. Ubeis Hillel, haksiv gam. So we'll say, remember again, but according to Beis Hillel, what do they do with the word gam? Remember again, Beis Shammai uses the word gam to teach you what? Gam is to come to include that not only is the esnan aser, but what? Anything the esnan is converted into is going to be aser as well. So what does Beis Hillel use the word gam to teach me? To which the Gemara answers is very interesting. Gam, the Beis Hillel kasha. We'll say, you know what? The gam, according to Beis Hillel, is a question. We're not exactly sure, according to Beis Hillel, what to do with the gam. Okay, says the Gemara, Ad kan lo pligi ela de mar savar shinu ikona, u mar savar ein shinu ikona. But say Samech Vav Amud Aleph, five lines down. So up until now, the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel centers on whether or not shinu ikona. In other words, this is a fundamentally usulistic Machlokes. When you have an object, and that object has a status, if the object changes, what happens to its status? And I will say, by the way, this concept, or this dispute has applications in multiple areas. So you see over here, it has an application ultimately by esnan zona. So a man gives an item to a woman to a harlot for payment. Then the object changes state, or has a change of state. Does the status of esnan zona remain with it or not? Similarly, a ganav steals an object. The object changes. So what's the status of that object? Will Gabi the ganav and Gabi the owner? So the Gemara says, Adkan, up until now, lo pligi elo de mar savar shinu ikona, mar savar in shinu ikona. So we'll say, the machlokes of Shammai Beis Hillel is, does a change in the object affect a change in status? However, avale inyon shalume, kole alma kidime ikara mishalim. But I will say, interestingly enough, the one common denominator that we have found throughout the sugya, this is really referring to the sugya on Amud Beis, is that when a ganav steals an object and then has to make restitution, so payment is established or is valuated at the time, ultimately, again, of its when it's stolen. So when we look for the value of repayment value is established at the time that the object was stolen. Because it's not just true by Karen, but it's true by Karen, but it's also true by Kefal, and it's also true by Arba Vechamisha. All payments for theft are valuated at the time of the theft of the actual object. To which the Gemara will say, now we're going to loop ourselves all the way back to Amud Aleph of yesterday. If that's the case, Lema Tehevei Tiyofta Dirav. I will say, then this entire idea should refute Rav. What did Rav say? Remember what Rav said on Samechei Amud Aleph, Dama Rav, Keren Kein Sheganav Mishayim Tashlume Kefal, V'tashlume, excuse me, Mishayim. Let me read that again. Dama Rav, Keren Kein Sheganav Mishayim Tashlume Kefal, V'tashlume Dalet Vehei, Kishas Hamada Bedin. Because Rav was of the opinion that what? That when you pay Karen is assessed at the time in which you stole the item, but Kefel and David Vehe are established when? Are valuated at the time of Hamada Bedin, at the time when you're actually brought to court. So now Rava stated his position on Amud Aleph. This entire Gemara just seems to refute that position, meaning the ongoing machlokis over here is whether or not Shinui Kona or Shinui Eina Kona. When there's a change in the object, does the Ganav acquire the object or not acquire the object? That's the source of machlokis. But everyone seems to agree that valuation for stolen property is done at the time that the object was stolen. But this refutes Rav, because Rav says the only payment that's assessed for at the time that the object is stolen is what? Is Karen. Everything else is established Kishas Hamada Bedin. To which the Gemara says, "Amar Rava." So Rava responds, "Teloim kime de ikara damim kisha achshav." So this is an interesting answer. So Rava explains that essentially it depends what you're paying back with. If you are paying back with teloim, so we'll say so teloim ultimately are sheep. In other words, we'll say we often look at financial restitution through the lens of money. What happens if you're not paying back with money, but you're paying back with livestock? So look at Rashi for just a moment. Teloim kidme ikara kilomar bala shalim teloim. Let's say again, I steal a sheep from Reuven, and now I want to go ahead and repay with sheep. So kidme ikara sagi vitala ganav vitala mishan. So we'll say even Rav will agree that if you are repaying your obligations with sheep, so that we go ahead and we assess the valuation of your obligations from the time that you stole. Why? Because since you stole a sheep, and since you're repaying a sheep, then what? Then again, the value of the sheep stolen are established at the time that you actually committed the theft. But according to Rav, if you were to pay back with money, not with sheep, then Einachinami, Karen would be assessed Kishas Geneva, and Kefal, and Arba Vehe, and Dalet Vehe would be established or would be assessed at the time of Ha'amada Bedin. So here the Gemara is just suggesting that Rav would also agree that there's a case where you'd be paying back all payments based on valuations at the time of theft, and that's when you're paying back with sheep itself. But with money, it's going to depend ultimately again on the nature of the payment. Amar Rabba, Shinui Kona. So both say, so now we're going to go back. So now that we've kind of closed out, well, we haven't really closed down anything, but now that we've at least established machlokes beshan beisolal about shinui kona shinui ena kona, now the Gemara is going to go ahead and use that as a springboard for a further discussion. Amar Rabba. So Rabba says shinui kona. Rabba says we subscribe to the principle that a change in an object allows the ganav to acquire that object. So again, a ganav steals an object and then the object changes. And we'll say, now remember, what we've also established is there are essentially three different types of changes. There is a change in the actual physical maturation of the animal. There is a change in the name of the animal. Could be a change which may or may not go hand in hand with physical maturation. And there's a change in value of the animal. Value is pretty much not what we're talking about. Let's assume right now that we're going to be focusing a little bit more on an actual physical change of the animal. So shinui kona. So Rava suggests that when the animal physically changes, the ganav acquires the animal. So the Gemara Rava says, ksiva vitanina. We learn this out from a pasuk. We learn it out from a mishnah. So ksiva, where do we learn out from the pasuk? Veheishiv esak zela sher gazal. The pasuk says that the ganav has to return the stolen object which he stole. Not Talmud Lomar Asher Gozel. So we'll say, why does the Torah have to add in that phrase that he stole? In other words, why don't you just say the Heishav Asagizela? So return the stolen object. Why do you have to say you have to return the stolen object that you stole? Not Talmud Lomar Asher Gozel. Im Kain Asher Gozel Yachzir. To teach you that what? If the object that I stole is still in the same state, then you should return it. Ve'im lav, but if the object is not in the same state, then what? Domim ba'alma boyi shalumi. Then you just have to repay money. Suppose they say, here you see, and according to Rabbi, the Pasuk teaching me, the only time there's an obligation to return the object that was stolen is when it satisfies the criteria of asher gazal, that it's the same object that you stole. But if the object that you have in your, bless you, if the object that you have in your possession now is different than the object you stole, then you are not obligated to go ahead and return the object, but rather you are obligated to return the financial value, the money, the monetary value of it. So the Gemara says, Tanina. So we'll say that's the Pasuk, Tanina. What about the Mishnah? Hagozel Eitzin Vasan Kehler. Both says really fascinating. Person steals wood and makes it into utensils. Tzemer Vasan Begadim. I steal wool and I make it into a sweater. So what's Talach Rabosai? Mishalim Kishas HaGizela. I have to repay the value of the object in accordance with the time, according to the time that I stole it. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that what? That Lemaisa, again, if I steal an object, and what? I changed the state of that object. I stole a 2x4 and I made it into a what?
Shelf.
A shelf. Good. I made it into a shelf might not be a good one, right? It's got it. Right? Right? I made it into a cup. What? A shtender. Oh, I'm sorry. She's so good. So Halig. Right? I made it into a shtender. Right? Good. I made it into a shtender or a shelf. I changed the state of it. So as long as it's not a TV stand, that's what I'm trying to avoid over here in all of this, right? So I go ahead and I make it into a shelf, stand, or whatever it is. So the mice again, or I go ahead and I take a piece. I take the wool and I make it into a shirt. The idea of is I changed the state of the item. The halacha is, what the Mishnah seems to be saying is, I've acquired the item. So therefore, again, I want to be clear. When we say that a ganav acquires the item, don't for a moment mistake that to mean that he's off the hook. It means that he doesn't have to return the item. Rather, he has to return the monetary value of the object that he stole.
The victim could also just say, there's no choice in the matter. I don't want this clothing that you made. I want the wool back.
That is correct. The Gemara is saying that conversation doesn't even start. That dialogue doesn't even start because there's no such concept of returning something different than what you stole. No such concept like that. So the Gemara says, Inami, just another add-on case, is hispik litna lo achet savo pater. I'm sorry, lo hispik litna lo achet savo. Or what's the other case is, I stole wool. But what happened? But let's say I gave it to the dyer. With a Y, right? I gave it to the dyer, and what happened? And I didn't get a chance to return the object before the wool was dyed. In that case, also, I don't go ahead and pay back with wool. Rather, I pay back with money. And I will say now, just the reason the Bryce attacks on that case is why? Because that case is a little bit different than the sweater case because it's wool, right? It's still the same ball of wool. Just before it was white, and now it's red. But Lamaisa again. But even in that case, where there's been a significant change in the object. All of these cases, Rabosai, the object, essentially what the Gemara is saying is, a changed object is no different than had the piece of wood or ball of wool burned up and no longer in existence. Everyone would agree that Lamaisa, if it incinerated, then Lamaisa, again, you'd have to pay back money because the object no longer exists. So to over here, once you change the state of the object, pretty much the Gzela Asher Gazel, that which you stole, no longer exists. Something else exists, therefore you have to pay back money. So I'll say, the point the Gemara is saying is, Alma Shinoi Kona. What you see from all of this is that shinoi, a change in an object, acquires the object for the ganav, and the ganav has to be having money. Now again, to Yachmiel's point, the interesting part over here is the following. Meaning, the Gemara could have said, that had the owner of the stolen object said, you know what, it's okay, I'll take the shtender, or I'll take this nice sweater, I'll take this sweater. The fact that you see that option is not on the table is really what this is the Gemara to see. You see from here that shinoi kona. Meaning the owner doesn't have the right to say, the owner of the object, the owner of the wool doesn't have to, I'll take the sweater or I'll take the shtender. That option is not on the table because his reach does not extend that far. His reach extends to his object. If his object, as it was stolen, no longer exists, he's entitled to money, but not entitled to the object. Yeush. What about Yeush? I'm going to say now we're getting into Yeush. So Yeush Amri Rabbanan, Dinikni. So we'll say, the rabbis say that Yeush. I will say Yeush means, look at Rashi, Yeush Shenes Yeishu HaBailim. So we'll say Yeush means, again, we'll spend more time in Yeush and Bava Metzia, but we're going to talk about it now a little bit as well. So Yeush means when an owner of an object despairs or gives up hope of ever reclaiming or getting back that object. So furthermore, the Gemara is saying over here that when the owner has Yeush, when the owners have Yeush, ultimately, again, the person who now has the object, let's say the Ganov, right, ultimately acquires the item and is only obligated to go ahead and what? Return back the monetary value. Now, we'll say, now the Chiddush in that case of the Yeush case is what? That's even if what? If the object didn't change state. So, Lemaisa, Reuven has a ball of wool, right? Someone steals it from him. He has Yeush, right? However that manifests itself, I give up all hope of ever finding this object. So the thief has it in his possession. He hasn't made it into a sweater because there was Yeush. Ultimately, what? The owner goes ahead and, not the owner, excuse me, the thief acquires the object. However, so the Gemara says, Yeush to Amri Rabbanan Denikni. So the rabbis say that Yeush, right, that you acquire an object through Yeush, Mihu, Lo Yadinon Ida Araisa Ida Rabbanan. But we're not sure, does Yeush work Midaraisa, does Yeush work Midarabbanan? Si Ida Araisa, Mididahava Amotza Aveda. So we'll say, if you want to say it works Midaraisa, then the truth is this would be similar to a case of one who finds a lost object. What happens in a case of a lost object? So the Gemara says, Motze Aveda Lav Kevan de Miyaish, Mara Mine, Mikame de Tisili Ade Kanile. So we'll say, just like, again, Reuven loses his watch. And he gives up hope of ever finding it. I come along, I find the watch. We'll say, halachis, I'm permitted to keep the watch. Now, leaving aside the concept of Hashavas Aveda, leaving that aside for just a moment, if Reuven was Miyash, if Reuven gave up hope, I have the ability to keep that object. Therefore, the Gemara says, Mikame de tisi liya de kanile, as long as Yeush happened before the object reached my hand, then lemaisa again, I could acquire it. Hai nami. So maybe I could say the same thing in a case of theft. Kevan de miyaish mara kanile. So we'll say, since the owner gave up hope of ever reclaiming the object, I, the thief, am permitted to go ahead and keep it. So the Gemara says, Alma kanile. So therefore you see from here that Yeush is kona. Oh, Dilma, but we'll say, here's the other problem. Lo damya la aveda. How can you compare theft? How can you compare theft to the case of aveda, of a lost object? Why, Rabbi Osei? Aveda hu dechi asiliade behetera asiliade. Rabbi Osei, when I find a lost object, that object came to my hand beheter. There was nothing illicit, nothing illegal that was happening over here. I'm walking, I find an object, that object came to my hand beheter. Therefore, again, it makes sense that what? That there's a concept that if the owner had yeush, then what? Then I, the finder, could acquire that object. Aval hai, kevin de bisura asiliade. Rabbi Osei, in the case of theft, remember what happens in the case of theft? In the case of theft, the object comes to my hand illegally. Meaning the way that object came to me was through an illicit act of theft, an illegal act of theft. Therefore, again, midirabanan hu da'amr. So we'll say, so to say that Yeush applies in that case, midaraisa, that'd be a little bit difficult. Maybe what I could say is, midirabanan hu da'amr. Perhaps again, Yeush acquires in a case of theft. So which means, I steal an object from Reuven. Reuven has Yeush. The Gemara now is positing that once Yeush occurs, I, the thief, acquire the item. Not midaraisa, because really midaraisa, I really shouldn't be able to acquire it. Why? Because since the item came to my hand illegally, who says the mechanism of Yeush allows me to acquire the item after the fact? But maybe it does work midirabanan. Now, we'll say, now why would dirabanan say that Yeush works by a thief? Listen to this. The amrabanan nikni mitnei takanas hashavim. They both say, this is wild. The rabbis say that Yeush should work by a thief. Why? Al takana sashavim. Takana sashavim means a takana, an enactment for the benefit of the Bali Tshuva. They both say, now what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Mishum takana sashavim. Shelo yehei tzarech lachzor v'litroach achar ha-gezela atzma. So they both say, listen to this. In general, Chazal understood that everybody wants to be good and everybody wants to do Tshuva. What's the problem? The problem is, if tshuva demands too much of me, and too much of a dramatic change of my lifestyle, I'm not going to do it. So what Chazal did in certain circumstances was lower the bar of responsibility with the hope that people would find the courage to turn themselves around. So for example, if a person goes ahead and steals an object, so if, let's say I'm a career thief, so if you tell me that to do tshuva, I have to go ahead and return every single object that I stole, then what? That I'm not going to do it. Why? Why? You know, we're going to see the story in the Gemara about this. The Gemara is going to tell me a story about a career thief who wanted to do tshuva. He tells his wife, it's a good idea. He's speaking over with his wife, honey, I'm thinking about becoming a Baal tshuva. And his wife says to him, Reka, you fool. If you go ahead and you give back everything you've stolen, you won't even have a belt to wear. And ultimately, again, the Gemara says he didn't do tshuva. Right? So what Chazal said like this is that it could very well be that by a ganav, what we say essentially is Yeish is kona. If the owner despaired of giving up the object, keep it. We want you to keep it. Now you have to pay back money. We want you to keep it because we're concerned that if we make you return the object, what's going to happen? You're not going to do tshuva. Now I will say again, I want to be clear. Remember, there is a concept of the heishev as hagizela. So a thief has to go ahead and return objects that he stole. This is in a specific case of yeush, where the owners have given up hope of ever retrieving the object. However we establish yeush, the chazal, the rabbis are saying, Ganav, you could keep the thief. You could keep the stolen object. Why? Mipnei takanas hashavim. With the hope that perhaps by allowing you to keep the object and only having to repay the money, this will help facilitate your tshuva. Rabbi Yosef says, no, yeush enokona. It is not true. When it comes to theft, ultimately, again, yeush is not kona. You can't acquire based on yeush. Vafilu midirabanan. Ultimately, again, even midrabanon, and therefore, again, according to Rabbi Yosef Ashes, enokona vehi atzma yishan. If the object is in existence, you must absolutely repay the object that you stole, even if there was yeush. Says the Marbosa, and by the way, you should know that's how we pass like Rabbi Yosef in terms of theft. That if a person steals an object, and even if I know for sure the owners had yeush, but the object is still in existence, I have an obligation to return the object itself. Ase Rabbi Yosef to Rabbo. So Rabbi Yosef raised the kasha to Rabbo. Gazal, this is another great case. Gazal, chametz for lava, Pesach, listen to this case. I stole chametz, right? I steal Reuven's chametz on Erev Pesach. And what happens? And Pesach now went by, I'm a base. Amrlo, so we'll say after I had a really uplifting seder, I decided to become a Baal Tshuva. So what happens? After Pesach, right, Isruchag, I show up at Reuven's doorstep and say, Reuven, here's your chametz, right? I stole his award-winning pasta collection. Here is your chametz. I'm giving it back to you. So what's the halacha? I'll say, so remember again, so now understand that's now called chametz sha'avar lava pesach. So chametz sha'avar pesach is also about one is not permitted to get any kind of benefits, not permitted to eat it. So now again, I will say, now this Rashi points out is a case of hezek she'eino nikker. We spoke about this case before. This is a case of unrecognizable damage. Because remember, the pasta collection looks as just as wonderful as it did on the day that I stole it. But lamaisa now it's fundamentally changed status. So the Gemara says, "V'hai kevan demata idan isura vadei miyayish." Now we'll say, now here's what's interesting. Now the Gemara is assuming over here that lamaisa Reuven, since Pesach came, there's no question that he was miyayish. In other words, that every Jew gives up ownership of his chametz. Well, remember, the Gemara doesn't really deal with the possibility of mechiras chametz, because remember, mechiras chametz is a separate later innovation. Meaning, the Gemara talks about mechiras chametz for certain extenuating circumstances, but mechira was not the norm. What did people do with their chametz before Pesach? They got rid of it. Also, that also has to do with the fact that, remember, people didn't necessarily have objects that had long shelf lives. So the Gemara doesn't, so therefore, again, maybe award-winning pasta is not the best example. I stole his loaf of bread. So the assumption over here is that Lamaisa, again, at the time when Pesach came, Reuven was miyayish from his bread. More specifically, he made his bread hefker. In other words, he doesn't want anything to do with it. And yet what? So we'll say, if at the end of the day we say that when the owner of the object is miyayish, so the ganav acquires it. Right? So why am I able to say to Reuven, I brought back your loaf. Mamish, I didn't even touch it, I didn't even eat it. Here is the whole loaf, I'm giving it back to you. Why should I be able to do that? After all, dummy ma'alya boy shalumile, I should have to go ahead and what? Pay money. And as well say, if you hold, what the Gemara is just challenging over here, if you hold that yeush kona, if you hold that when the owner has yeush, the thief acquires the object, then in this case over here, I should not be able to show up at Reuven's doorstep after Pesach and say, here's your loaf back. Because again, Reuven was Miyayish, presumably he was Miyayish on that loaf. Therefore, the loaf became mine. If that's the case, I can't repay with the loaf. I have to pay him back money. Amarle, to which Rabbi responds, Kika Amina Ano, when do I say that Yeyosh is Kona? That's in a case of Zemis Yayish, of Zerotze Liknos. Vosa, that's Tafka in a case where what? Where this one is Misyayish, this one has Yeyosh, and the other one wants to acquire. In other words, Vosa, you need reciprocity here. So it has to be that the owner of the object has Yeyosh, and the Ganav has a desire to acquire. Hi, Zemis Yayish, the ze ino rotze liknos. But I will say, ultimately, again, in this case, the owner may have yeyosh, but the thief does not want to acquire. Why does the thief not want to acquire? Because ultimately his desire is to return it to the owner. See, even Rabbi will say, I only hold that yeyosh works when there's this reciprocity. Owner is giving up, thief wants to acquire. But if owner is giving up and thief doesn't want to acquire, then even I will agree that the thief doesn't acquire, and therefore, technically speaking, could go ahead and return the loaf of bread. Correct. This is daf correct. This is even when it's changed the status. That is correct. So the Gemara is, now again, I want to point out, remember what the Gemara is not getting into over here, which Rashi references over here, is Hezek Sheno Nikar. So that, remember, that we saw the machlokes, and that's a big machlokes about what happens when you cause unrecognizable damage. Is there liability for that? And so the Gemara is sidestepping that issue. The Gemara is just saying right now, in Yeyosh, in the realm of Yeyosh, the only time that even Rabbo would say that the thief acquires the object is when there's that reciprocity. Owner gives up ownership, thief wants to acquire. But Lamaisef, owner gives up, a thief doesn't want to acquire, then even Rabbo would agree that the thief doesn't acquire the object, and as long as the object then is in existence, you have to return it. Eitzvei, Abai the Rabbo. So Abai raises another question to Rabbo. Karbano below HaGozel. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Pasuk says, Im Ola Karbano, so if a person is going to go ahead and bring an Ola, and the Pasuk goes on to explain what animals an Ola could come from. So the Gemara dashes, Karbano, you could only bring your Karban, meaning the point the Gemara is making over here is it phrase it in the possessive. You could bring your Karban below HaGazel, but you can't bring a stolen Karban. So says the Gemara, Hechi Dami, what's the case? Ilema, Lechne Yeush, Lamili Krab. So I will say, if you say that at the end of the day, if you say that this is happening before Yeyosh, in other words, that if the object was stolen, ultimately before the Yeyosh, so we'll say, remember again, so what the Torah is telling me over here is, if I steal an animal from Reuven, so the Torah is telling me, Karbano, you can only offer up your own animal as a carbon, you can't offer up a stolen animal as a carbon. Fine. So I will say, let's analyze this. At what stage of the theft are we talking about over here? So, Ilei Melifnei Yeyosh, if you're telling me that I stole the animal, the owner was not yet miyaish, and you're telling me that I can't offer up the karban, so lam likra, I don't need a pasuk, that pshita. But say that's obvious, no, right? Because you can't offer up a stolen animal. Ella lav la'achar yeyosh. Oh, it must be that what? That the novelty of the drush is telling me that if I stole an object, even if what Rabbi say, even if the owner had yeyosh, I still can't go ahead and what? I still can't go and offer up the animal. What do you see from here? Shema Amina, Yeyosh Shal Kani. Now, I will say, now remember, let's be technical for just a moment. If you hold the Yeyosh Kona, if you hold that when the owner is Miyayish from the object, that the thief literally acquires it, then what? Then what? Then it's my animal. If it's my animal, then what? Then I could offer it up as a carbon. The fact that I can't offer up a post-Yeyosh animal tells me that Yeyosh lo kane. That ultimately, again, Yeyosh does not really give possession of the animal to the thief. Amrali Rava. So Rava says, well, let's analyze this. Ulatame, using your logic, Hadisanya, that which we learn, Mishkavo, Veloha Gozel, and both saying, this is talking about Zav. Zav has the ability to transmit Tuma ultimately to his couch. Shkavo means a couch or something he sits on. Now there's an interesting drush, and I will say, remember, the Pasek here again phrases it in the possessive. That it's only his couch that the Zav goes ahead and transmits Tumah to. Below HaGozel. But I will say, ultimately, again, if the Zav stole his friend's couch and sat on that, he would not transmit Tumas Zivos to that couch. So the Gemara says, Hey Chidam, well, what's the case? Ilema the Gozel Amrava Avdei Mishkav. So I will say, if you say that the Zav stole wool, and he made it into a couch. Exceptionally talented man. Right? He stole wool and he made it into a couch. Then what? Now, boss, remember, everyone seems to pretty much be on the same page that if you take an object and you dramatically change its state, everyone agrees that what? That lamaisa, the thief, acquires that object. So if that's the case, that couch would become the zubs, in which case, again, he should be able to convey tumah to it. So the Gemara says, "Mai is the chalameimar." What's the case? The gazel mishkav chavrei. Boss, the case must be where what? Where ultimately, again, he stole his friend's couch. So the Torah is telling me that if he stole his friend's couch and he sits on it, the mice, again, he does not convey tumas zivos to that. Therefore, you have to say, hachanami, so to the case by carbon must be the guzzel carbon de chavrei, where he stole his friend's carbon. Now look at Rashi, what does this mean? The guzzel carbon de chavrei. So you both say, we thought the case was where what? He stole his friend's animal, and then he, the thief himself, was makdish it as an ola. The Gemara, and therefore, again, the Gemara was seeing, you see from here that what? That Yeyosh is not konet, which means it's not the case. The case is where he stole the carbon of his friend. Look at Rashi, the guzzel carbon de chavrei, shehikdish chavero. His friend already consecrated or sanctified this animal. Well, the olam lifnei Yeyosh, and Rabbo said this is talking about before Yeyosh. The itzrich lashmu ino deino olam leratzon klal va'afil lebal marishon va'af agav delo havi Yeyosh. Oh, Rabbo said, what's the novelty of the ruling here? The novelty of the ruling is if I steal my friend's olah, talking about a case where it was before Yeyosh, lemaisa again, if I offer up that carbon, then what? Lemaisa again, not only does it not count as a carbon for me, but it also what? Doesn't satisfy my friend's ola obligation either. Rashi just brings down here, Lishna Achrina, the gazel carbon, the chavre, hilcha chavi, la'achar yeyosh, lo kanye, the carbon eno nigza. We'll say the other possibility that the Gemara is saying is what? Is that lemais, again, if you steal someone's carbon, we'll say, even if the owner is miyaish, that yeyosh is not kone for the thief. You know why? You know why this is interesting? Because that carbon really doesn't totally belong to the Bailam anymore either. Because that carbon already is hekdish. If that animal already essentially belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore the Yeyosh of the Bailam does not go ahead and convey ownership to the thief, which is quite amazing. Esebo, so let's go a little bit weiter. Says the Gemara, Esve, Abayir, Rav Yosef. So Abayir is a conscience of Rav Yosef. Oros Shabal Abayis. This is another fascinating case. Let's say I steal hides from Reuven. So what happens? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, no stealing yet. Orosha balabais, hides that belong to the balabas, right? Hides of an owner. So machshava mitamasan. So let's remember again, an object is mekabel tumah at the point that it's considered to be a finished keli. When the processing of a certain object is finished, then the mice again, it is receptive to tumah. So therefore again, Rabbi says to the following, that if you have the hides of a balabas, machshava mitamasan, as soon as in the minds of the balabas, it's usable ultimately again for some type of purpose, it's considered to be a finished product, and therefore again, it is mekabel tumah. So we'll say Rashi points out of here because the balabas is usually tanning his own hides for himself, and ultimately again, not doing it for any type of commerce purpose. Therefore, so once he has in mind that ultimately again, the item is a finished product, then again, at that point in time, it's mekabel tumah. So again, the balabas, because he is not selling this for commercial purposes, once he decides, machshava, once he decides that the object is a finished object, metamasan, it is mekabel tumah. On the other hand, the Gemara says, v'shal avdon, but the hides of a tanner, ein machshava metamasan. But I both say, when a tanner is tanning hides, remember, a tanner does this professionally, he's doing this in order to sell them, then lemais, again, his machshava does not allow the objects to be makabel tumah. Now, why not? Look at Rashi. V'shal avdan ha'asri limkar ein machshav to mitamaso do'avid mamlech umazmin v'alokeach yaseh mehen min ha'olim v'adai lo nigrom lach l'kach. We'll say, what does a tanner do? A tanner sells hides. What does a tanner sell hides for? Well, what it's for is up to the purchaser, right? The purchaser could do with it whatever he wants. The purchaser can make a table. The purchaser can make a shelf. The purchaser can make shoes. He can make a bag. He can do whatever he wants. So therefore, lemaisa again, when the tanner sells it, the tanner is not going ahead and selling finished products. He's selling a work in progress, and therefore lemaisa again, the object is mekabel tumah. We'll say again, the operative piece over here is that an object is only mekabel tumah when it's considered to be finished.
Sense of accomplishment.
I'm sorry. Well, it's more than just a sense of accomplishment; it's that the item is complete. This is not like an emotional cognitive thing. This is like mitzias. Mitzias is the object in our life. If I'm a balabas and the hide is at a point where I'm going to use it, then it's done. I am a salesman. I don't know what the end use is going to be. Therefore, the mindset it's not done. So the Gemara goes weiter. So, however, Shalganov, I will say, what happens if someone goes ahead and steals a hide? Shalganov, machshava mitamasan. So we'll say, so again, look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Shalganov, machshava mitamasan. Dikaninhu biyeush. Dikasavar stam gneva yeush bailami. Dilo yoda leman tavo. So we'll say, if somebody steals a hide, so lemaisa, again, what happens? The assumption over here is that the owners have yeush. Therefore, the ganav goes ahead and steals the object. Therefore, the object is considered to be completely in the reshus of the ganav. Now, we'll define what this means in just a moment. Shel gazlan. However, again, if a gazlan goes ahead and steals the object, ein machshava mitamasan. Ultimately, again, thought does not render itself ultimately. I also remember the difference between a ganav and a gazlan. A ganav is someone who steals secretly. A gazlan is someone who steals openly, forcefully. Look at Rashi. Shal gazlan eimach shal metamas. And va'afa pi shechishim alein ledavar shein bochi sarim melocha. Even though he has in mind to use it for something that could readily be used now. Kigon, lekisei chavilos, susim uperadim. Kimosha also me oros dubin. Nevertheless, my time. The stam gzelos like a yeush. The chayvan the other man shaklei azil v'tava le lidine. So we'll say the Gemara says over here the following: when it's stolen by a ganov, so the owner usually has yeush. He's never really going to get it back. Therefore, lemaisa again, it's in the possession of the ganov. Once it's in the possession of the ganov, if the ganov has in mind that the object is a fully finished object, then einachinami, the object is going to be susceptible to tumah. If on the other hand it was stolen by a gazlan, so both say gazlan, the owner knows who stole the object. Therefore, he's not miyayish because his intention is to pursue the thief. Therefore, lemaisa again, the object is not yet considered to be in a finished state, and therefore the object is not yet mekabel tumah. Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Shimon says chiluf tadvar. Rabbi Shimon says Just the opposite. Shal gazlan machshava mitamasan. I will say when it comes to a gazlan, ultimately again machshava mitamasan. V'shal ganav ein machshava mitamasan. But I will say, but for a ganav, ultimately again machshava will not render it susceptible to muay. The fi shalom nisyaishu habaylim, because ultimately again the owners did not despair of giving them up. Now both say, now why does Rav Shimon hold just the opposite? Look at Rashi, chiluf advarim stam gzela ika yeush deleka dechevan deleine gazla mine inish alomo almohu ava stam gneva leka yeush desar meshachna leilagan. So let's listen to this. So Rav Shimon holds that when someone is strong enough to steal from you openly and publicly, it usually means that they're above the law. If they're above the law, I give up hope of ever getting it back. Therefore, the mice, again, pretty much it's a finished object, and therefore it is susceptible to tumah. On the other hand, if it's being stolen privately, that means the person is scared to steal from me publicly, openly, and therefore the mice, again, there's a hope that maybe I'll get it back. Therefore, there's no yeyush, and because there's no yeyush, ultimately, again, the object is not yet mekabel tumah. What's the bottom line? Ushma mina yeyush kana. We'll say, what's the bottom line of all of this? The bottom line of all of this is that we do see is that when the owner ultimately again does have yeush, so lemaisa again the thief is able to acquire the object. Well, so we'll have to stop over here today. We're leaving off, I know, a little bit mid thought, but again we are leaving off in the midst of a fascinating sugya about whether or not the yeush is kona or not. So Mir Tisham will continue tomorrow afternoon. I may record a little bit more of this today, so just stay tuned to the WhatsApp. I'll put it on the WhatsApp if I do. Recorded shiur is going to be tomorrow afternoon. You'll check the bulletin for the schedule, and we'll record the parsha thought a little bit later as well. Just go ahead.